God made the world and all its wonders for man to explore. And there are countless wonders just outside your front door. Now join natural world photographer and journalist Roger W. Downs as he shares the stories of the people, places, music, and cuisines he has discovered as we explore with RWD.
Hey, welcome back, or welcome in for the first time. I'm Roger W. Downs, or RWD. I answer to both, and I'm your host. And since Halloween is right around the corner at the time of the recording of this podcast, I thought I would share an experience I had at Devil's Courthouse just off the Blue Ridge Parkway. Now, if you're not familiar with that location, the parkway is a roadway that runs along the ridges of the Blue Ridge Mountains from Virginia into North Carolina. And Devil's Courthouse is a granite-faced mountain that you can walk up to the top of and find some amazing views, which you can see for miles and miles, not only through the Blue Ridge Mountains, but also into the Smoky Mountains as well. Well, I had ventured up that way back in September to be able to capture the sunset because the clouds are perfect, and I thought this is going to be an awesome opportunity because I'm a wildlife and nature photographer to capture that sunset. Unfortunately, Mother Nature didn't allow me that opportunity because she blew in some mist across the top of the mountain and sunset came and went, and I decided I'm just going to head on home then. And sometimes you'll have that happen as a wildlife or nature photographer. You're not always going to get the shot that you want. So I packed up my gear, put it in my backpack, and I headed back down the path. Now, if you've ever been up to the top of Devil's Courthouse, it's dirt from the very top down to about halfway along the path or the trail where it turns into a paved portion, probably because it was starting to erode, and I'm sure that's what the Park Service is trying to avoid because it's rather steep. But it's also a straightaway right down to the bottom where the Blue Ridge Parkway comes through. So I started to walk down that paved portion when I heard something breaking quietly through the woods about 100 yards away. And I try to keep my senses pretty attuned to what's around me, especially during twilight time in the forest, because that's about the time bears start foraging, and you don't want to walk up on a black bear or any type of bear for that matter and upset it. And I like to stand back. Well, I could see something moving at the bottom of the path to the right. And I thought, is that a bear? Because I thought I saw some fur behind a tree, and it was about 100 yards away, so I wasn't really able to make it out until whatever it was stepped out onto the path on what I could tell were two legs. And it was covered in hair, and it was huge, massive, probably at least 7 foot tall, and it walked out, it stopped, it turned to look at me. Now, I didn't get a real good look at its face because it was dark, but I could see it turned to look up the path at me, and it growled or made this weird sound like when it looked up at me, and it scared me to death. I didn't know what to do. I froze in my tracks. I'm pretty sure I peed just a little. And I was like, okay, and I put my hands up and stood very calmly. And then what seemed like forever went by as I stared down at it and it stared up at me. And I thought, I think that's a Bigfoot. Then what really rattled me was I saw it reach up with one of its arms, grab onto a tree, because from the trail there's an embankment that slopes up, and it pulled itself up onto that embankment and then continued to walk down through the forest. I just stood there, frozen, with fear, awe, and doubt in myself that I'd actually seen what I'm pretty sure I saw. That had to have been a bear, I thought. Or maybe it was a kid in a Bigfoot outfit, and now I'm on somebody's YouTube channel and millions of people are laughing at me. I thought of all the other things that could have possibly have been. But no matter what it was, it had rattled me to my core. I was frozen in fear, and I knew I had to get to my truck, which meant I had to walk down through where I'd seen Bigfoot walk by. And that scared me to no end. I mean, it didn't act like I was a threat at that moment in time, but I didn't want to walk down there and make it think I suddenly was, and that scenario would flip around, and now I'm in a boxing match with Bigfoot because I would lose. So I ran as fast as I could down past where I'd seen it cross and out to my truck. And I jumped in my truck, started up, and I tore off down the parkway much faster than I probably should have been going. But I wanted to put as much distance between me and Bigfoot as I could. The next morning, after I had recovered from my fright and shock, I picked up my phone and I started to research other Bigfoot sightings in Western North Carolina and most specifically along the Blue Ridge Parkway. And that brought me to discover John Bruner, who is a part of the Bigfoot 911 research group in Marion, North Carolina, and also one of the event coordinators for one of the biggest Bigfoot festivals in the nation, the WNC Bigfoot Festival. And we're going to chat with him coming up next, one, about his festival, which you can attend in September, hopefully if COVID-19 is resolved, and two, some of the hot spots around Western North Carolina where there have been multiple Bigfoot sightings and the stories that accompany those sightings. That's next on Explore with RWD.
Explore with RWD. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, RWD here with you, and I want to thank you for listening in with the Explore with RWD podcast, where we explore new areas, find out the history behind them, and also share the imagery. But that's a little hard when you're listening, right? So you can see a lot of the imagery that we capture while we're out exploring different areas, including videos as well, by following us on your favorite social media, which includes Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram. Just find us at Explore with RWD. I think you'd be pleasantly surprised. Again, that's at Explore with RWD.
Welcome back to Explore with RWD.
I'm really excited to bring on our next guest. From Marion, North Carolina, head of Bigfoot 911 and an integral part of the WNC Bigfoot Festival, which happens every September in Marion, North Carolina, Mr. John Bruner. Thank you, sir, for coming on the show.
Hey, appreciate that, and appreciate you having us on your program.
Sure thing. So let's talk a little bit about the history of the WNC Bigfoot Festival. I know it's only a few years old, but how did that get started? Because you had a ton of people pouring to Marion over the last couple of years.
That's true. We started a Bigfoot research group here in Marion, and we had a bunch of followers on Facebook, and we decided in 2017 that we were going to have like a meet and greet for our Facebook followers. And so we did that in Old Fort, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And we had probably 400 to 450 show up for that. And we were excited about that. And afterwards, probably the next week, the city of Marion contacted us and wanted to know if we would be interested in doing a Bigfoot festival in Marion. And at first I turned them down because I really didn't think it would go. I just did not think that would go over well. And, mm-hmm. you know, the more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, you know, okay, we could give it a shot. And so we did. We planned it for 2018. We promoted everything, and people was asking me, how many people you think is going to come? And I said, you know, 5,000 come, it's a win for me, you know.
Right.
And the day that we had the festival, we had right at 46,000 people show up in Marion, North Carolina.
Wait a second. Wait, little Marion, North Carolina, which, and I mean, I love small towns, but 46,000 people poured into there?
46,000 people. It totally overwhelmed the North Carolina Highway Patrol. Interstate 40 was shut down in both directions coming into Marion. They were not happy, and I was overwhelmed because I had no clue that would be the case. But you know, we had good backing from the city. Everybody was totally surprised that number of people showed up. We had major issues with parking and travel, and and things like that, and things that we did not plan for, but we had no clue we were going to have to plan. We were basing our numbers on past festivals that was held in Marion, and to date, or to that date, the maximum number that of people attending festivals was about 18,000 to 19,000 people.
And, well, you tripled that.
Yeah, that was several years ago at the Mountain Glory Festival that they have in the fall in Marion. But we done better planning for the next year and 2019. And in 2019, we had about 54,000 show up. So it got bigger. But next year, it's going to be huge. It's just going to be huge. We're expanding it to 2 days, and we've expanded the route, and the route will be almost a mile long.
I was looking at some of the photos from the website, and it looked like people had such a good time. There are people in Bigfoot costumes. They had painted storefront windows with Bigfoot on it. I mean, the whole town just embraced the festival, it seemed.
They sure did. The whole town, the merchants loved it because we brought major people not only to shop at the vendors but to shop at the stores. The stores were open on Main Street, and I had several of the businesses tell me that they made enough money in that one day to cover their last quarter.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So this is the festival in Marion then.
Yeah, this is the big one now. The city officially named it the big festival for the year for the city. And in 2018, we actually won an award, Main Street America award for best festival, best new festival. Okay. And we're really proud of that.
That is really cool. Where did you see people coming from? I would imagine probably all over Western North Carolina, but did you have people coming from as far away as, let's say, California or those locations?
Yes. In 2018, we had people from 21 states that had came to Marion to the festival. The farthest away was Alaska. In 2019, we had two gentlemen from Greece that traveled to the United States to Marion, North Carolina, just for the festival.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's some dedication.
Yeah. And of course we had people from Japan. We had people from, the, Caribbean that came also in 2019 for the festival.
That's really impressive that they specifically came to Marion just for that festival. I can understand, because I go out hiking a lot into the mountains, and I meet people all the time who come to see the Blue Ridge Mountains or the Smoky Mountains or maybe some of the history that's here. But to have them come specifically for your festival, that was the draw, to fly around the world.
Right.
That's impressive, and you deserve certainly a round of applause for your efforts in getting the word out.
And we had a really good media coverage for both festivals. But the first year, CNN from Atlanta was here. The BBC from England was here. News outlets from New York, Boston, Los Angeles were here covering the festival.
So before you started with the festival, were you in promotions?
No. Before, you know, I retired in 2018. As a paramedic, I was a paramedic in McDowell County for 30 years, and I retired from that in 2018. And my plan was just to do a whole lot of Bigfoot, you know, and it didn't even have plans about festivals and things. I just wanted to be in the woods, you know, and kind of got sidetracked with the festival a little bit, and. But that's okay, because my motto is this festival is not about me and it's not about my research team. It's about the folks who come. I want them to come and bring their families. I want them to make memories that, you know, years from now, they're going to look back on and just smile. That's what it's all about, the people. And I promise the people, you know, up to about 10 years ago, you didn't talk about Bigfoot out in public. You know, right. That was just taboo. And I promised the people that I would give them a venue that they could come and be with people like them without being made fun of and being ridiculed. And that's what I've done.
And that's awesome, because I know you and I had shared earlier my encounter with a Bigfoot up on Devil's Courthouse. And yeah. I was always kind of afraid to tell people, but after, you know, 30 years in broadcasting, I'm like, look, either you're going to love me or you're going to hate me. I don't care. But you still yeah. are a little hesitant, because people go, oh, okay, what kind of mushrooms are you eating out in the forest?
I totally understand that. You know, when I reported my sightings, you know, they wanted to know how much moonshine I drank and things like that. And, you know.
And all the fun. So,
yeah.
So this year coming up, minus COVID-19, and hopefully that'll be taken care of by the time we roll into September. What dates mm-hmm. do you have on the calendar for the WNC Bigfoot Festival in 2021?
We don't officially have everything, but we're thinking it's going to be September 17th and 18th. Mm-hmm. We're pretty sure those dates are going to work, but we've not actually, see, with the COVID thing, we've not actually been able to have committee meetings and meet with the city and make sure all is good, you know. But, you know, we're thinking that through emails and things that so far nobody has objected to those dates. So we're thinking those are going to be the dates.
All right. And hopefully COVID will be resolved by then. But yes. we'll keep praying about that one until it happens.
Yes.
So when it comes down to the festival and all these people from around the world coming in and being a part of the fun and the excitement and the stories, what can they expect roughly what can they expect in 2021, or what have they found in past years?
Okay. Well, I can tell you what some of the things we're going to be doing, and some of them we're going to keep secret. But on Friday, the Friday part, we're going to have a Bigfoot Educational Expo, and this will be held at the Marion Community Building from 3 to 8 p.m. And what we're going to have is we're going to have Bigfoot experts set up in there with their evidence, cast, their video, their audio. You're going to be able to go in and talk to those, kind of like a meet and greet. You'll be able to talk to them, see their evidence, see their footage that they have. Just be able to be one-on-one with the Bigfoot expert, the people that's actually out there doing the research.
Right.
Also, the festival is going to begin on Friday. We're going to have one block of Main Street that will have vendors set up, various vendors for the people that come in early. That's one of the things that I looked at when I asked people, you know, what they would like to see for next year. And a lot of them said, we come into town early and there's nothing to do on Friday. So we're going to start the festival on Friday. And for those folks that's come in from out of town and thing, you give them something to do. And the festival part will run from about 3 to 10 Friday night. And we'll have other things going on. I don't want to give a lot away, but there'll be a car show and various things like that for people. Plus the businesses on Main Street, the restaurants, tap rooms, things like that. We'll be open for business, and so that will be, you know, the happenings on Friday, and then the festival itself will begin Saturday, Saturday folks can expect a Bigfoot calling contest.
Nice.
A Bigfoot costume contest.
That's cool.
We will have Bigfoot experts speaking throughout the day at various times on the courthouse lawn, the main stage. Mm-hmm. They will be talking for about 30 minutes at a time about their research. So folks will be able to just sit around and listen to various people. And we're bringing a lot of experts in this year. We're doing a lot of we're bringing a lot of those because that's what the people seem to want to see hear. They want to hear about the people that go out and do the research. So we're really going heavy on that this year. And then there's going to be, there'll be probably 250 vendors. We're going to have a food court. We're going to have a kid zone again, and the kid zone will be free to the parents. They can jump all day long. Won't cost the parents one thing. And that is my idea, because I can remember when my children were small and we would go to festivals and, you know, everything was a dollar. Everything was a dollar. And I said, hey, let's give the parents a break. I'm going to take care of this. That way these kids can be happy and the parents can be happy too. So that's my gift to the people, is they don't have to pay for their kids to play in the kids zone.
That's awesome. I mean, that's really awesome, John, that you would do that, because I can't tell how many times I've gone to, let's say, a county fair or whatever, you go to a festival on the street or even a school festival, and they just nickel and dime you to death.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then your kid's like, I want to ride this ride. And you're like, I want to eat next week.
Yeah.
So I understand completely. So we're going to chat with you a little bit more. We're going to go to a commercial break here. And then when we come back, I want to talk to you about not only your experience, your very first experience of seeing a Bigfoot, which then, of course, drove you to do what you're doing, but also some of the other stories that have happened here in Western North Carolina, and just some of the sightings that you've heard about that would entice people to maybe get out into the forest and do a little research for themselves.
Okay, sure will.
Don't go too far. Explore with RWD. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's RWD here again, and when I'm out exploring new areas, I always take my camera along with me because I'm also a nature and wildlife photographer. And you can see some of that imagery at explorewithrwd.com, but more importantly, I want you to experience it the best I can provide it to you. And that's why I usually grab video of waterfalls, forests, and any place that can help you just reconnect with nature through either your cell phone, your laptop, your tablet, or even your computer. You can find my YouTube channel at explorewithrwd.com.
That wasn't too bad now, was it? Welcome back to Explore with RWD.
Hey, I'm glad you stuck around, because our guest today, John Bruner from the WNC Bigfoot Festival out of Marion, North Carolina, and also the Bigfoot research group, Bigfoot 911, which, by the way, you can find online at bigfoot-911.com, is going to tell us about some of the encounters other people have had here in Western North Carolina. But first, John, what got you started into researching Bigfoot? What was that moment that you said, this is what I want to do?
Well, you know, when I was young, I saw the Patterson-Gimlin film at the movie theater. You know, used to, when you go to the movies, they run these small movies first, and the Patterson-Gimlin film was one, and that opened my mind to a lot of possibilities, you know, at a young age. And then I had my first experience when I was 12 years old, but I didn't really know what it was at the time. I was 12 years old. I was in the woods behind where I lived. And, you know, I told my kids, you know, I said, you know, when I was growing up, the woods back there was my Xbox and my PlayStation.
Right.
And things like that. So, I was back there, and it was a really nice fall day. And, you know, I heard what I thought was a woodpecker knocking. And, you know, it sounded a lot heavier than that. And, you know, it sounded like it was behind me and then in front of me and beside me. And you know, that just intrigued me. So I got to moving around, trying to find what this was. Never could figure it out. And so when on my way home, I stopped by my grandmother's house. I want to ask you a question. I said, years ago, when y'all lived over there in that part of the woods, I said, did you ever hear any strange noise? And she said, well, like what? And I said, like somebody like a big woodpecker or something knocking, but you just couldn't find it. And my grandmother said, "Where was you at?" And I said, "Well, I was in the old pasture, you mm-hmm. know, over there." And she said, "You should never go there by yourself." And I said, "Why not?" And she said, "The booger man is there." And, you know, when I was a kid, parents and older people used the booger man as a way to get kids not to go outside when it got dark. You know, right. they said, "Oh, the booger man will get you," and everything. And I said, well, tell me about it. And she said, "I can't." She said, "Your papa told us we weren't allowed to talk about it." And I said, "But I don't understand that. I don't understand." You know, and so she wouldn't say a word. My mother wouldn't say a word. She just told me not to go back to the old pasture again by myself, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for years I would hear that when I would go in there. And in the 1980s, the researchers that were doing the research in California, Oregon, Washington, figured out that Bigfoots used tree knocks as a way to communicate. And then it all made sense to me. It all made sense. So my grandmother, bless her heart, she lived to be 100 years old. And probably 2 months before she died, I sat down with her and I talked with her about it again. And I said, "You know, I just want to know." And she said, your papa said we weren't allowed to talk about it. She said, "But I will tell you this." She said, "He thought that him and his brothers ran that thing out of there." And I said, "What is it?" She said, "It's just a big hairy man. And he used to steal our chickens."
Wow. See, I've heard stories like that where, especially if you live back up in the hollers and so forth, that they would literally come into your barn, steal your goats, steal your chickens, and then wander off, but leave you alone most of the time.
Right. And so I knew right then that we had been dealing with Bigfoot, or that I was, you know, that's what I was in the presence of when I was 12 years old. And over the years, I would do my own research. And of course, I kept it to myself because you just didn't talk, even to your best friends, you know, you didn't talk about it. And in 2015, my son had came back from, he had been in the Army, and he had came home, and him and my other two sons, we officially formed the team that we started using in research. And it was just us four, you know, to start with. And we would go out in different areas of McDowell County and document the activity that we saw. And you know, since 2015, I have personally documented two family units that are in McDowell County.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. One of the family units is around Lake James. Now, they move around, but they stay around Lake James. And another family unit is around Toms Creek Falls, Peppers Creek, the orchard at Alta Payson, that area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bill Carson is the gentleman who's there. He's a historian.
Yes. Now, the TV show Finding Bigfoot done an episode in North Carolina, their last season, and the night hunt that they did took place on Peppers Creek in McDowell County. People can pull that up on YouTube and watch it. And the very last night hunt they done was there around the orchard in that area up there. We had Cliff Barackman from Finding Bigfoot with us in 2019 at the festival, and he and I sit and talked a lot about that area. And I told him about the documentation that I had, you know, with the family unit and everything. And he said he just did not doubt it. As a matter of fact, Cliff told me of all the places he'd been in the world, he said, "I've only had one sighting," and he said that sighting was in North Carolina, in the URI.
Oh, wow.
And he said, "So I love coming to North Carolina." So that's a long way around of how I got started and, you know, just continued into my retirement. we had a sighting on in September of 2019 on Lake James. We had got a report from some fishermen, said they were fishing in a boat, and something kept paralleling them on the bank, you know. And I'm thinking, well, it's probably kids, you know, because I do not believe every noise in the forest is a Bigfoot.
Right.
I go in to try and debunk everything that I can debunk. And once you get everything debunked, there's nothing left but the truth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we were down there. We didn't take any equipment. We just took one night vision camera, and we were sitting there. It was after midnight, you know, and I was scanning the shore with the night vision camera, and we were hearing tree knocks, and we were in like a cove, and we was hearing one on one side, one on the other side, but, you know, and I was scanning, and I saw one with the night vision camera, and I stopped on it. I took 121 pictures of that animal.
I bet you did. I would have too.
And I watched that animal for 5 minutes, and we were still hearing the tree knocks, but the animal I was watching was not doing the tree knocks. I could not figure it out, but we took pictures. We took one of the pictures and we blew it up, and lo and behold, standing behind that Bigfoot was another Bigfoot.
Oh, wow.
The next day we went back to the site. I cast the footprints that were there, mm-hmm. and I pulled the hair off of the tree that it was leaned up against. I cast over 20 prints from that area that day. They were upset that somebody was around there. They were walking. And you know, we have two in a picture that has been blown up. But I'm thinking there were probably about four, because of that many prints didn't make no sense. And I'm thinking probably that was a part of a family unit.
Right.
But I'm thinking there was four in that area there. And, you know, the other side where we were hearing the other, we didn't even get over there. So we went back a few weeks later and we couldn't really find nothing. It had been too long, but where I think the other one was, you know, that was knocking back. But that was a pretty amazing sighting. And, you know, people, when I released that, on the Facebook page, and I released it to the Charlotte Observer newspaper with a picture, you know, people just really slammed me. But what they don't understand, and what the stories that was wrote about it don't tell them, is the next day I went back and got the prints and the hair. You know, I cemented my documentation by doing that. I didn't just take a picture and say, hey, I took a picture of Bigfoot. No, I went back and done the research behind it too.
So with the hair sample, did you send that off to a lab or anything like that?
Well, the thing about it is, with hair samples, is you have to have something to compare it to. And there's nothing to compare it to at this point. There will not be anything to compare it to until science gets their body. Once they get their body, there's something to compare it to. It's always going to come back as unknown. Always. Mm-hmm. Because there's nothing to compare it to.
Right. So let me ask you this, because there's all sorts of philosophies about what Bigfoot is. Some people say he or she wanders in and out of different dimensions. Some people say they're aliens. Other people say that they're like, if you will, the missing gap between gorillas and us. Mm-hmm. So what is your belief? What do you think they are?
Well, I tell you, when I had my sighting, I was about 30 yards from it, and I stood and I watched its chest rise and fall as it was breathing. When it turned to walk away, I watched the muscles in its legs flex. What I saw was a living, breathing, blood-flowing animal.
And they seem to be wildly intelligent.
They do have a measure of intelligence that is more than what we normally see. If you look at the studies that they do with gorillas, mm-hmm. Gorillas are intelligent. The Bigfoots, they say, well, why don't we ever see it? Because they're smart enough to stay out of view. And who knows that you haven't seen one and just didn't realize what you were looking at. Let's take the Native Americans.
Right.
They've been documenting Bigfoot, Sasquatch for thousands of years. You know, even one of our presidents, you know, Teddy Roosevelt wrote about it in his book. He wrote about Bowman, who described the Bigfoot to him. And you know, so, you know, how could something that don't exist go back as far as 780 AD in documentation?
That's very true. There's got to be something out there. And I know people don't like to believe in things that are unknown, because in this modern age where we have technology, where I'm talking to you right now on a cell phone, which beams up to a satellite and then down to wherever you're at, a lot of people don't like to believe, hey, with modern technology and all the bells and whistles of satellites, and we haven't seen one of these, like we haven't been able to find one in the woods, we haven't found a body, they don't exist, because we find deer carcasses, we find wolf carcasses, that sort of thing. So when someone comes to you and says, well, why haven't we found a body yet, like a dead Bigfoot, what is your answer?
My answer to that is, number one, I think those creatures are intelligent, and they do like we do, and they take care of their dead. Now, they say, well, how about the ones that dive out in cells? Okay, have you ever been walking through the woods and found a bear carcass that died from natural causes? No.
I can't say that I ever have.
No, you haven't. And let me tell you why. It don't take as long for decomposition to take over in the wild as people think. You know, sometimes within a week and a half, the body is gone, because, you know, the animals forage on it, and you know, the earth does what it's supposed to. I have the opportunity after I retired to do some work for the North Carolina Medical Examiner's Office.
Right.
And I know a little more than most people about how the decomposition works in humans, you know, and I can tell you, it's less than 2 weeks and that body's gone. You can't even tell anything was over there.
That's fast. I didn't think it was mm-hmm. that fast.
Yeah, it's pretty fast. And, you've got the other animals that forage on them, and then, you know, nature takes its course and does what it's supposed to do. And you know, then of course, I think that they do take care of their, and they say, well, what do they do? Well, I think they bury them. Why ain't we never found one? Well, because nobody's looked in the right place yet. You know, when somebody looks in the right place, we'll find one, or we'll find bones or you know, something. Mm-hmm. But, you know, their intelligence level is amazing to me, because they know how to knock and communicate. Roger Moorhead has documented, or he documented in 1974 in the Sierra Mountains, a language. They think they have their own language that they speak. So, you know, this is not just dumb animals that we're dealing with. They're, you know, they've evolved. And, you know, the one thing, they want to stay away from us. And, you know, there's times I can totally understand. I would want to stay away from us, too. We do some very stupid things sometimes.
And we are the biggest predator on the planet.
Yeah. You know, when you ask, you know, what happens to the body, that's what I believe. That's what John Bruner believes happens to the bodies.
Okay. Well, I was just kind of curious because I've had people, when I've mentioned like my experiences in seeing Bigfoot, and I've had two, one where I thought one ran across the road in front of me in Northeast Ohio. Mm-hmm. And the other one recently, just this summer, up on Devil's Courthouse, everybody says, well, where's the body? And I said, well, I don't know what the answer is to that. I'm not an expert, but I can tell you what I witnessed. And I, and like you said, I get people who ask me, what kind of mushrooms were you eating out in the forest? How much were you drinking? And I just kind of smile and say, well, if you're ever out in the forest and you see a Bigfoot, you're going to feel mighty stupid by, about making fun of me. because I believe that they exist, because I believe that, and I know for a fact that there are humans in the Amazon that have not had any contact with other humans. Mm-hmm. We have documentation, photographs of them shooting bows and arrows at passing helicopters that, you know, they probably think they're demons or whatever they may believe. We also know that there's different species on the planet and even in the sea that we have never seen or found before. And we're just starting to discover those.
Mm-hmm.
So why couldn't there be Sasquatch?
Yeah. There's new discoveries made every day.
Exactly. So what is one of the best stories you've ever heard from someone, minus yourself and maybe like the fishing story, of course, out on Lake James, from someone who's witnessed a Sasquatch?
Well, you know, on my Facebook page, I'll ask occasionally, I'll ask people to message me their Bigfoot stories, you know, and, you know, I always promise them I will never use their names and things. But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to just gather as many stories as I can to pull from, you know, later down the road if I need some information about a specific place. Or one of the best stories that I have ever heard was from a gentleman. This took place, this happened in 2014 on the Blue Ridge Parkway. Right after you get on the Blue Ridge Parkway and you go up Highway 221 to the top of the mountain and get on the parkway going north toward Linville Falls.
Right.
There is a bridge that crosses the river there. And he was a fisherman, and there wasn't much traffic. So he parked on the other side of the bridge and walked out on the bridge and wanted to see if he thought it was worth, you know, stopping to fish, you know.
Right.
And he told me that right down, you know, looking right off of the bridge, he said that there was a large bipedal walking on two legs creature in the river. The water was up almost to its knees, and it would bend over like it was getting things with its hand, but he never saw any fish in the hand or anything. And he said that he watched that creature for 3 to 4 minutes. And then he said it looked up at him, and he said it kind of growled like, and then just walked back to the bank and up through the woods. He said, I guesstimated at about 7.5 feet tall. And he said, there is no way this was a bear. He said, this thing was squatted down on two legs. And he said, it stood up. He said, I could see the fingers on the hands. And he said, I can't say it was fishing because I never saw it with a fish, but it was digging in the river for something. And I said, so it stood up and growled at you. He said, well, it stood up and made a noise. He said, I don't know what their growls sound like. He said, but it kind of like sounded when you scare a dog. He said, it'll kind of, you know.
Yeah.
And he said, then it just walked off. And that was one of the most fascinating stories. But number one, because it was daylight. Daylight sightings are not as common as you think. And so that was exciting for me. Number one, because the upper part of McDowell County, you know, could there be another family unit up there, you know, up that high? And number two, the gentleman, he he was not trying to. Now, and in my career as a paramedic, I learned to take what I heard with a grain of salt, and I learned to watch people's body language to see if they were telling me the truth. This gentleman never flinched. He never took his eyes off of me when he was telling me the story. I do believe he was being truthful with me. Another reason that I give that I think he was being truthful is because he was a Baptist minister.
Well, I think he's probably telling the truth.
And so, but that is one of the best stories that I have gotten because of the detail he was able to give me about the hands. And, you know, I asked him about the fur, and he said that the fur looked kind of reddish brown, which is common for this area. They're more dark out in the west. Out there in this area, it's more reddish brown, is what people say. And, you know, how could that gentleman know that if I had never told it? You know, well, most people say reddish brown, you know. And so I think it was just a good, legitimate story and you know, just added validity for me. Probably didn't do a lot for the skeptics, but that's okay, you know. So that was a good one.
I gotta tell you real quick, let me just interject by saying that, can you imagine being that Bigfoot? You're down there maybe digging for clams or something to eat, and you look up and go, oh, great. You're like, nah, I have to come back.
Well, you know, the thing I think about, you know, a lot of times when I'm out on the expedition and nothing's happening, you know, I'll just kind of look up in the sky. And, you know, you'll occasionally see an airplane going over. What do they think those are? You know, when they look up, what do they think those are?
Right.
You know, I wonder about that, you know, and I know that's probably, you know, I'm probably some of your listeners are going to say, boy, he is, you know, kind of off. But
that's all right. Let them think what they want. So when it comes down to the family units, how many do you think are right in Western North Carolina? I mean, how many do you guesstimate, if you will?
Well, it's hard to say in Western North Carolina because I don't have a lot of reports from a lot of areas. I do have a friend who does the Great Smoky Mountains quite a bit.
Right.
And he's pretty sure there's a family unit there. And as big as that is, I'm thinking there's probably more than one, but he knows for sure there's one, you know. So, but, you know, a lot of areas like, you know, Madison County, Watauga County, you know, up in that, I don't know a lot about because I don't get a lot of reports from up there. Family unit consists of 7 to 12. The Bigfoot stay with their mother until they're 13 years old, and then they're kicked out of the nest, so to speak.
Well, how do you guys know that? I'm not trying to doubt you. I'm just curious, does the research prove that?
The research for that comes from the Western United States in Washington, Oregon, California. Those researchers out there have come up with that theory, which makes sense to me. You know, they also come up with the theory that most of the daylight sightings we have are juveniles because the older ones are smart enough to stay hid, you know, during the day and do their stuff at night. So, you know, a lot of the things that we use now in our research came from the pioneers that started research, you know, back in the 50s, in the western part of the United States and Canada and Alaska.
And I know there's Bigfoot sightings all around the world, and not just here in the United States. But do you get people who tell you stories from, let's say, China or Asia in general, or even Europe?
I do have people, especially on my Facebook page, that send me quite a few Bigfoot stories from Ireland and from England.
Right.
And I do have one story from Peru. There's been Bigfoot sightings in every state in the United States except Hawaii. There has never been a Bigfoot sighting in Hawaii.
Who would have thought?
Yeah. Yeah, who would have thought?
They didn't swim out across the Pacific. Can you imagine that? Somebody out on a boat like, we got a big hairy man swimming across. But I can tell you that from my experience, and when I saw the one, which really shocked me when I saw it, and I still question myself, John, honestly, like, did I really mm-hmm. see what I thought I saw, or was it a mm-hmm. bear? I don't know. It was about probably 100 yards away, but it was large and on 2 feet.
Yeah.
So I got to be honest, I've always believed in Bigfoot, but it rattled me after I got that sudden proof
mm-hmm.
that I was like, whoa, that thing is huge. I mean, it was much bigger than a gorilla, and it was much bigger than me. And I thought, okay. And I'm glad it just walked away, which seems to be a lot of the sightings that people have, is it once they notice you, they're like, oh, and they just wander off.
They want to put some distance between you and them, because they don't trust you, just like you don't trust them, you know?
Right.
So, you know, they want to put some distance. And you know, a lot of times, you know, one of the questions I get is, why is the picture fuzzy? Because the people are scared to death trying to take a picture.
I mean, look at any of the footage, and I don't mean to use this in any disrespect, but look at the footage from 9/11 in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
People were running down the streets. The camera wasn't held steady.
Mm-hmm.
There were some news reports where news reporters were there with cameras, but they were running too. When you're afraid, you have a tendency to shake, or you're thinking, okay, I have two things I can do here. I can either fight or I can flee. And mm-hmm. when you're looking at something four times bigger than you, I'm not going to go get in a fist of cuffs with a Bigfoot.
Yeah, because you're not going to win there.
No, obviously you're not. And I've heard reports of how people have shot them and they've screamed, but they've wandered off. So mm-hmm. if something can take a 12-gauge round and wander off into the woods, mm-hmm. I'm not chasing it down.
Yeah.
I just want to be point blank on that statement. I mean, why would you do that? Oh, I shot it. Let's chase after it. It wandered off like, ouch, like you might have punched mm-hmm. it. So it's fascinating, the stories that I've heard. And one thing I really appreciate is the fact that now people like you and, of course, the WNC Bigfoot Festival have brought it to the forefront, and people who have probably been afraid to talk about their experience, to share it with their neighbors or their family and friends, can now have a venue to do that mm-hmm. without feeling like, one, they're crazy or made fun of, or someone's going to be down at the coffee shop in your local town going, well, there's Roger Downs. He's the mm-hmm. one who saw the Bigfoot up on. And, you know, you don't want to have that. So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, another thing that I want to say, too, a lot of times people ask me, well, you know, why didn't you shoot it? Well, number one, because Bigfoot 911, which is my team's name, is a no-kill team. We are there for research only. Right. We are not going to be the ones that put one down. That is not my plan at all, and it never will be part of my plan. I am there to research it and document it.
Right, and that's how they did a lot of animals before when they discovered new species in Africa and down in the Amazon. And I've had people ask me when I was, cause I'm a photographer, and they said, well, why didn't you get your camera out and take a picture of it? I go, because my camera was in my backpack on my back. And mm-hmm. I didn't really think, you know what, maybe I should take my backpack off and really freak this thing out. I'm just going to stand here like, hey, it's okay, buddy. Do your thing. Just don't rip my arms off.
Yeah.
I kind of like my digits. So, in short, though, yeah, I think people also ask, you know, when someone, of course, makes a statement like, I saw one, well, why didn't you take a picture with your phone? It's probably mm-hmm. not the first thing going through your mind when you see it.
You know, even as a researcher, you know, they've asked me, well, why didn't you take a picture? Well, I was studying it. I wasn't thinking about taking a picture. I was wanting to get as much detail in my memory as I could where I can write it down later, you know.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, you already have a photo that's great of two Bigfoot out by Lake. Now, by the way, I have to ask this. This is the big question. Is it Bigfoots or Big Feets?
It's Bigfoot.
Okay.
The plural version is Bigfoot too.
Okay. Just like sheep.
Uh-huh.
You have a sheep or you have sheep. Okay.
Yeah.
I understand, because I was kind of wondering that myself when I was writing a blog earlier today. Well, John, I want to thank you for your time today. I mean, it's been really a pleasure to learn more about what's going on in Western North Carolina when it comes down to this phenomenon. And if people have an experience or they have a sighting, is there a place where they can come and reach out to you?
Yes, they can. They can come to the website, which is www.bigfoot-911. Mm-hmm. And they can also get on Facebook, Bigfoot 911. It's a closed group, but if you can apply for membership, and there's questions that I ask, and you can just put in there, I've got a sighting for you and things, and I'll know to expedite your membership into the group.
So, and also any stories that they may tell you, you will also keep that anonymous if that's what they choose.
Absolutely. They will never, their names will never be attached to that story if I tell it. Never.
And that's fair.
Or actually the location, because, I may say the Blue Ridge Parkway, but the Blue Ridge Parkway is a big place. And then I may say Lake James. Lake James is a big place. So, but I will never give them specifics that would identify that person.
Okay.
Now the story I told about the gentleman, he told me, he said, I don't care. He said, you can use whatever. You can tell him my name if you want to, but I won't do that.
Right.
But I did tell a little more about him because he gave me permission, to do it. So.
Yeah, because some people are like, hey, that's okay. I saw what I saw and I'll be a witness. And
right.
That takes a lot of bravery because, again, as we discussed, people will certainly make fun of you and snicker about you behind your back saying, well, they're just crazy out there in the woods looking for Bigfoot. Until such time as you're driving down a backcountry road and you see one step out in front of your car, then you're like, what's that Facebook group again? Well, John, thank you so much. And I hope and pray that COVID's taken care of so you guys can get back to the regular WNC Bigfoot Festival that happens in Marion throughout September, and that sounds like a great time, and I'll certainly have to make an appearance there.
Hey, sounds good. Thank you so much for having us.
Don't go too far. Explore with RWD. We'll be right back.
It seemed bleak for the colonists to be able to establish their own country during the American Revolutionary War. The British were winning. Until the British made a fatal mistake and threatened the wrong people. And Western North Carolinian historian Bill Carson from the Orchard at Alta Pass shares that story during episode 2 of Explore with RWD. Listen directly after this podcast.
Welcome back to Explore with RWD.
Hey, I want to take a second here real quick and thank you personally for listening into this podcast. I really appreciate you taking the time to learn about the southeastern United States and where we're based out of, Western North Carolina. If you could, please subscribe to this podcast. We'll bring you a new one each week, bringing you the stories about the people and places that you can go visit with your friends and family. And most importantly, please get outside and enjoy what God gave us. And I want to thank John Bruner again from the WNC Bigfoot Festival from Marion, North Carolina, and also the research group Bigfoot 911. Again, you can find his research group at bigfoot-911.com. I've also included links to the WNC Bigfoot Festival and Bigfoot 911 in the description of this podcast. So please go visit their sites. And if no one else has told you this yet today, I love you and I know the good Lord above loves you. He has promised you that. Make sure to count your blessings, because even in these difficult times, life truly is good, and the Lord is good. So until next Monday, peace, love, and coon dogs, y'all.
Thank you for listening. Visit us online at explorewithrwd.com to discover more about Roger, his photography, podcast, and adventures. Or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at explorewithrwd. Remember, we didn't inherit the earth from our parents. We borrow it from our children. May God bless you and yours. Now get outside and go explore. Explore with RWD is produced by Downs Media Incorporated. All rights reserved.